This is Rainmaker FM, the digital marketing podcast network. It's built on the Rainmaker platform, which empowers you to build your own digital marketing and sales platform. Start your free 14-day trial at rainmakerplatform.com. Welcome to The Showrunner, where we have one goal: teach you how to develop, launch, and run a remarkable show. Ready? And welcome back to The Showrunner. This is episode number 66 of The Showrunner. I am your host, Jared Morris, VP of Marketing for Rainmaker Digital. And I'm very, very excited to be welcoming back to the program this week my co-host, the host of Hack the Entrepreneur, best-selling author, connoisseur of coffee, eater of sandwiches, and so many other things, Johnny Naster, who is back from his European vacation, ready to impart some more podcasting and showrunning wisdom on all of us. Johnny, welcome back.
Thanks, man. That was a nice introduction back into the country.
Well, dude, it was so weird last week. I mean, we obviously recorded several episodes ahead of time to plan ahead for this time that you were going to be gone, but we didn't have one for last week, and so we reran an episode and had to come on here and do the intro by myself, and it was very lonely without right, you here doing it.
And I forgot you actually did that. Because it hasn't come out yet, and it comes out tomorrow. And so that's why I was like, you're welcoming me back, but did you do any by yourself? But you did. Did an intro by yourself.
I did. Cool. So, but it's good to have you back. So I want to know, I mean, I'm sure that you had many experiences while you were gone, but what experience or anecdote or moment stood out above all the others that you're willing to share with us from your trip across the pond?
Ooh, a lot of experiences. So I went to a conference with 150 like really smart, cool people, all entrepreneurs doing mostly, I'm going to say half of them are like fully digitally nomadic at this point. So they just travel the world endlessly, and crazy businesses and doing really crazy things. And I was shocked by how many people sort of admire podcasters who have shows that have even a few people listening to them, no matter what else people have going on, like literally just like jet setting around the world, working from a laptop at a beach, making lots of money, and just like, but I would really like to be able to do something meaningful and be able to help people like through a podcast or something. Like, how do I do that? It was like, really? It was weird. It was weird the first time I heard it, but then I heard it, I'm going to say 15 more times over the weekend. And wow. I thought that was, yeah. And at first I was just like, oh, you're just saying that. You're just saying, but then it's like, wow, why? Wow. You guys are, lots of you are saying this. And so it's something that I think, because obviously hanging around people like you, hanging around with showrunners, I think we take it for granted what we have sort of built for ourselves, what we get to do throughout our days, and the connection we get to have with our audience, no matter what sort of size that audience is, as long as it's more than, I'm going to say, 100 people. It's a meaningful, really kind of impressive thing that I think sometimes I know myself, I lose sight of. And it really put a lot of things into perspective for me. It really, I think, is going to make me a lot better of a showrunner, because I've stepped back and given it a different, sort of an outsider's look at what I've built. And rather than trying to maybe build it into something bigger or different than it is, just try and make what it is right now better, and become better as basically just as a showrunner.
Wow. That's cool, man. That's a good perspective in an essential perspective to get as you get further along as a showrunner, to appreciate what you have and you know, kind of like you said, really to understand that and then to help use that to drive you forward and to double down on what's worked and make it even better.
Yeah.
So that's very cool, man. Very, very cool. Were you ready to dive in to a new episode and impart some new wisdom on our loyal, wonderful, motivated showrunner listeners?
Absolutely.
All right. Let's do it. But first, before we do that real quick, I do want to remind folks to go to showrunner.fm because we want you to get on our email list. And it's not just that we want you to get on our email list. We want you to get all the value that you get when you join our email list, because we know that you're listening to The Showrunner so that you can build a remarkable podcast, which will then help you build a remarkable podcast audience. And there are so many things that you can do with a remarkable podcast audience. And to do that, you need to deliver a remarkable experience. And that's what we try and teach you to do here on The Showrunner podcast. And it's what we take to the next level when you join the email list. So when you get on the email list, you actually start receiving our free content series, The Four Essential Elements of a Remarkable Podcast. Plus, you're going to get useful information about the course when we reopen it, about our mini courses when they come out, and our weekly newsletter that doesn't just include a link to our latest episode, but also includes announcements of events that we have. So we have public Q&As where you can come and get your questions answered. We have a We Highly Recommend section that includes articles and tips and techniques that will help make you a better showrunner. All of this just in exchange for your email address, because we want to stay in touch with you and we want to be able to continue to give you additional information and insight on how to deliver a remarkable podcast experience. So to get all that, go to showrunner.fm, just add your email list, click the button that says join now, and you will have declared yourself a showrunner and a part of our community. And we appreciate that. And we take it seriously and we will give you value every week. How does that sound?
That sounds great to me. I'm going right now to join.
Are you in?
I'm in. You got me.
Join the list, Johnny. Join the list. All right, let's hop into today's main topic.
Let's do it.
Hey, by the way, quick aside, you're coming in a little hot.
So are you.
Oh, really?
Weird. I was going to say that, but I was like, maybe it's my headphones are a bit weird because all of a sudden you sound like slightly distorted during your call to action.
Really? That's strange.
Yeah. That is, you still do. But it could, I don't know if it's my headphones. I don't know. You didn't sound like it before.
Oh, yeah, you kind of came in hot during the whole thing. I didn't want to interrupt you.
Yeah, I didn't want to interrupt you either. But I mean, I am showing red. I'm showing red on my mixer now.
Are you? Test.
Oh, probably because we switched over from Zencaster. Hey. So I'm not red on call recorder anymore. So this should be decent.
Okay. And I sound okay?
You're coming in, like, you're peaking up my output on call recorder.
Am I? See, on mine, I'm not even, it's just now green on my input.
Now you went super yellow, so you missed the red that time.
What in the world is going on here?
Yeah, you're red, but that's cool. It could be my headphones, too. They're really kind of...
Test, weird. 1, 2, 3. How's that? Is that any better?
You sound great now. Yep.
All right. Toby, we apologize in advance if what we just recorded is not usable.
And I'm not even going to say cut it out, because every time I say cut this out, please, Toby, you never do.
Yeah. But really,
you always leave it.
But take this part out, this little aside. Take this out. After that call to action, this was not, we don't want this in there.
Actually, now that we're here, that's a great time. When you left my old crap in and then put that like record scratch, that was pretty awesome.
So,
I have to say.
Okay, so let me ask you this, because like, and again, like, what do you do if you have a guest? It's easy for us to interrupt each other mm-hmm. when we have an issue like this that happens and we kind of feel like we're coming in hot or something happens. What do you do with a guest? How long will you let that go on? Like, should I have interrupted you right away?
No, I don't think so. No. There's a lot that can be done in post, I think, that can, like, unless it's a complete mess.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You can bring the level down a bit, and like, unless it's like, burr, 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 like, then it's like, well, dude, I can't hear you. But to me, I don't think it's necessary because lots can be done after. To me, it's more important to not make the person try and repeat what they just said.
Yeah, I agree. Okay, good. Because that's why I didn't interrupt you.
That's why I didn't interrupt you.
Okay. Okay. I figured we'd just do it in the break, and here we are. All right, fine, Toby, if you want to leave this in, whatever.
This is a whole other episode at this point.
Whatever. Just leave it in as a little aside, maybe with some music, introing and outroing. And anyway, if Toby did leave this in, now we're heading into the main topic. Are you ready?
Ready.
Let's do this. All right, so Johnny, one of the projects I've been working on over at Digital Commerce Academy is I'm working on a course teaching folks about paid advertising. It's called Savvy Social Advertising. The big idea is to try and teach people the 20% about paid advertising that you need to know to get the 80% of the results. So there's obviously there's so much minutia and so many details to learn, and it can get really complicated. But as showrunners, we don't always want to deal with every single little detail. You know, we want to be able to do a few things that will get us big results, and that's my goal for that course. And one of the lessons that I decided to do was about a content audit. Because anybody who has a big archive, you know, whenever you're thinking about repurposing, when you're thinking about bringing content out that you can advertise to, you know, pay for traffic to, or even just if you're thinking about creating a mini course or, you know, creating an ebook, whatever, you want to go back and look at all the content you have, pick out the best stuff, and then use that again. And so this idea of a content audit comes up, and it can seem very intimidating. It can seem very time consuming. And it's one of those things that I think sometimes we push off and we push off and we procrastinate doing. But once we do it and once we get organized with the content we have, there are so many benefits that come from it. And so my goal with this lesson that I was doing is I wanted to teach folks a really simple process that would allow you to go through your content, do a content audit in 30 minutes or less. That was my goal. And so as I sat down to do it, I was trying to figure out, okay, which project that I'm currently working on could I use as an example for my slides? And I thought, oh, the showrunner. You know, we've got 60-some episodes already, a bunch of bonus episodes. We've got a lot of content, and we have over a year's worth of data when it comes to traffic and downloads and all of that. So let me do the showrunner. I'll do a content audit for us because eventually we're going to start running some paid ads to episodes. You know, we may want to turn an episode that worked really well into a lead magnet. There's a lot of different things that we can do. And so I decided to do this. And when you and I talked earlier this morning about what topic we should do for our episode, I thought, well, let's talk about this, because whether or not you listening, you the showrunner right now, whether or not you are thinking about doing paid advertising for your podcast, there are still a lot of different reasons why you would do a content audit. Kind of like all the reasons that I already talked about. And Johnny, you've gone through this recently because you put out your top 10 episodes of Hack the Entrepreneur. And my guess is that you had to do something similar when you did this. I mean, we're going to walk through some of these steps right now. But I'm guessing, you know, you had to kind of go through, audit your content, figure out which episodes were the most deserving of being in that top 10 list. And so I figured with the steps that I outlined, with the experience that you have doing this in a real life example that showrunners will be able to relate with, we can provide some good insight that folks can walk away with and hopefully do a content audit of their own.
I like it. It's going to be fun.
Yes. So just so you know, the slides that I use inside of Digital Commerce Academy, I'm going to put these in the show notes. So as I walk through here, there are some slides attached with this. There's some screenshots and the actual Google Doc, which I haven't even shown to you yet, by the way. I guess I should show you that since I actually did some work on this. The actual Google Doc will be there, and there are screenshots of it in the slide. So you can kind of follow along. And if you're listening right now, go to rainmaker.fm or go to showrunner.fm. You'll find our page and just find this episode, episode 66, and you'll be able to get that. So, okay, let's walk through these five steps. They're really, really simple, but I think when you see them laid out like this and you realize how simple this process is, you'll be more encouraged and more motivated to go do this. And that's the whole idea of this. Okay, so step number one is just get your data sources together and keep it simple. Don't overdo it. All right, the two data sources that I used when I was looking at the showrunner were, number one, Google Analytics, so that I could track actual traffic to the episode pages. And then, of course, my podcast reports inside of Rainmaker.fm. So Rainmaker.fm uses the Rainmaker platform. The Rainmaker platform provides really detailed and kind of easy to organize podcast reports that show downloads, the number of on-page plays, how far into an episode people listen to on the page. And so I just got those two data sources together, had my windows open, you know, chose some relevant date ranges, and I'm good to go. There's a lot of other sources you could do. You know, if you want to track maybe social media engagement, you know, if you want to do some different things, but again, the problem with these content audits is people get intimidated by the amount of data, the amount of time. So keep it simple. So for me, just those two. And if you only want to do one, if you just want to use your downloads report, that would be okay too. But I wanted to use Google Analytics because we've had enough activity and traffic to these pages that I knew that it would be relevant. So I got those two data sources together. And then what you want to do is start going through and look for outliers. Okay, so choose whatever time frame you think is relevant. And as I was doing this, I just chose from January 1st of this year until now to begin my search for the best content that we should do more with. Okay, and I started looking for, okay, which episodes have the most traffic? Which episodes had the most time on page? Because you would think if an episode has a higher time on page, people are probably there engaging longer, listening longer. You can look at which ones have more engagement, which ones have more social shares, which ones have more comments, if you get enough activity on your episode pages to do that. And then, of course, you can look at which ones have more downloads and which ones have more listens. And you're looking again for the outliers, because what is this going to tell you? It's going to tell you the topics that resonate most with your audiences. It's going to tell you the headlines that draw the most attention, all right? And that is what you're looking for, because if you're looking to repurpose content, you're looking to get the most bang for the buck, the most return on the investment of time in doing this. And so rather than trying to guess, go look at what's already happened with this content. And so, for example, I saw a lot of activity on some of the recent episodes that we had done on interviews. So Johnny and I, we did that Johnny's 3-episode mini course on interviews, how to book, how to plan, how to execute engaging podcast interviews. These all had a lot of traffic. They all had a lot of downloads and listens. So when you look at the Google Doc where I'm planning this out, those are right up there at the top. They were the easiest ones to do. Now you may say, well, that's because those are the most recent. Well, it's not just because those are the most recent, because there are other ones from 4 months ago, 5 months ago that also popped up and had a lot of traffic, had a lot of downloads and listens. And so those went on there as well. One of those was how to choose what to podcast about. So when you see a lot of activity on that, you know that's a topic that resonates with your audience. Okay, let me make note of that. Put that in my document. And so as you go through this, whether it's a Google Doc, whether it's an Excel spreadsheet, an Evernote document, whatever it is, make note of the title, add the URL so that you have it for quick access, and then have some notes on why. You know, put, well, it has the most traffic since January 1st, or this one has the most downloads and listens. Whatever it is, start keeping track. Okay, so step one is get your data sources together. Step two is to look for outliers, and you're keeping track as you go. John, I want to give you a chance here to kind of hop in, because when you went through and started looking at the episodes that you were going to do for your top 10, how did you start? Because again, that was just another, you know, archive auditing project. How did you get started with that project?
Right. So, and I was going to mention this, but then you've kind of, the way you've explained now the first two steps is different in the fact that I knew what I was trying to create. And I like the way you're doing it, like get two data sources and now look for outliers. The way you're doing it is you don't have to necessarily even know what it is you're looking for. Like I was looking right for the top 10 episodes. And so I like this because things are going to jump out that you're like, wow, I had no idea actually that how to choose a podcast topic was going to stand out. So that's kind of like, wow, maybe I should actually create more content around that, which is also interesting, right? So I knew definitely what I was looking for, but I also knew that I didn't want just the most trafficked or most downloaded 10 episodes. Right. I wanted the top five that were absolutely the top five. And then I wanted the top five most popular episodes for quote unquote unknown people, like people that weren't the Seth Godins and the Brian Clarks, because those were like, I didn't want it to just be like, well, that's obviously your top 10. It's all those people. I've heard of every single one of them. I like the people who are like, wow, I haven't heard of half these people, but they're super excellent. And some of them actually did make it into the full on top 10, which is interesting too. But I went in with a definite what I was looking for. And then, so I knew sort of what the data was that I kind of wanted to see. And social sort of played into it, but didn't. It was really download numbers. And then from that full sort of list of 10, then I needed to get rid of four of them and then add four people. So I just kind of went further down. I typically just used Libsyn. I didn't use Google Analytics or anything by it. And I've had a few episodes where socially they've had like a huge amount of shares, but actually not a lot of listens, because the person might have had a massive following on LinkedIn or Facebook, or else they paid traffic. I'm not even sure what they did necessarily, but it was like flooded with traffic at times. It was like, wow, that's crazy. But wow, nobody listened. So it was kind of like not valuable traffic. Yeah. So I couldn't let you into my top 10 because of that. So I had to kind of feel through and be like, okay, I know this is the data I want. But I really like how if you didn't know that you wanted a top 10, you could start with your data and then look for outliers. And then you'd be like, oh, actually, I should create more episodes about this, or I should create a mini course about this, or it can give you ideas, right? So yep. Any listener out there, this is how to get started, really, is to take these five steps rather than waiting for that first step that I had, which was, I know what I want. Now, where do I find it?
Yeah. So. No, that, and I'm glad you brought that distinction out, because once I get to the conclusions, it did kind of bring up a lot of ideas that I had never really thought about. And sometimes you forget about episodes that you've had, and you look at it now and you're like, oh, well, now I know a new skill or technique that I can use that will help with this episode. And I'll get to that here in just a second. But yeah, you know, this idea of outliers and traffic and downloads, it's just the first step, you know, and it just gives you, okay, here are the ones that really, you know, I don't know if they connected with an audience, but people definitely saw them. And there is a reason for that. And so you want to put that down. And you're not saying that you're definitely going to do anything with these, but you're putting it down, and then you continue, you know, you're kind of looking for patterns, and you're looking for episodes that are going to show up in multiple areas that we're looking at. So step three, you go a little bit more in depth, and you start looking for trends and audiences. So let's deal with the first one first. So looking at trends, right? You want to look for topics that attract attention, okay? So I mentioned how I kept seeing all our episodes about podcast interviews. Those kept popping up. And Johnny, it wasn't just episodes 56, 58, and 60, the mini course episodes. As I looked back further into the archive, episode 6 that we did, podcast interview best practices from a guy who publishes 3 times a week, that one had big numbers. Episode 12, best practices for recording interview guests and co-hosts, that one had big numbers. Consistently, episodes that we've done that have, you know, interview in the title or something or about interviews, those get a lot of downloads and they get a lot of traffic, which means people are attracted to this. They're searching for it. They're clicking on it when it comes up in their feed. Clearly, our audience wants more information on interviews. And that's great for us because we're doing that mini course on interviews. So that really helps. But now, you know, I have these 5 episodes listed out here on this spreadsheet, so that we can use them moving forward, maybe in a strategic way, because there's a lot of different ways that we can use them. So that's one topic that attracted attention. Another thing to look for is headline formats that seem to work. So again, if an episode is getting a lot of downloads, if an episode is getting a lot of traffic, and you're starting to see, obviously it's driving a lot of attraction. And if you're seeing a lot of that, and you're seeing some headline patterns pop up, take note of those. So for us, in addition to having interviews in the headline, that was one. The other one that was clear was numbers in headlines. All of our episodes that have numbers in headlines did well. So 13 Steps to a Better Show in 2016. The 3 Elements You Must Have Ready at Launch. 9 Lessons Learned Publishing a Book from a Podcast. and there are others. Those all did really well. And so I made note of all of those, not necessarily just because we might rerun them or we might repurpose it as a blog post, but those also will make great lead magnets if you think about it, right? I mean, think about how compelling the call to action would be to say, hey, go to showrunner.fm, sign up for our newsletter, and you will get our ebook or our PDF, the three elements you must have ready at launch. And to create that, all we have to do is repurpose that content from that episode. So make note of those, because those could all turn into really good lead magnet types. Okay, so in this look for trends and audiences, we've got topics that attract attention, headline formats, and then this one is really important, especially if you are considering doing any type of paid advertising to your show, which anymore I think folks should really consider. Look for audiences that can be targeted, especially if the episode has come up in any of these previous steps. So one for us is episode number 46, 7 Mindset-Altering Lessons from a Recent Gary Vaynerchuk Keynote. Now, that episode had a lot of traffic, a lot of downloads, right? It's a headline format that we know works. So it's surfacing really high in all of these metrics. And when you get into doing paid ads, like on Facebook or like on Twitter, you can actually target people who are interested in big names. So Gary Vaynerchuk is a big enough name that there is a Facebook interest that you can target for people who are interested in Gary Vaynerchuk, or you can target his followers on Twitter with your episode. And Brian Clark did this. I think we've mentioned it on this show before, but if not, Brian Clark did this with an episode of Unemployable when he had Henry Rollins on, and he targeted people interested in Henry Rollins who also were browsing Facebook on an iPhone and used the iTunes link to Unemployable and advertised to it. And it drove huge traffic, got him a ton of subscribers, bumped him up into the top 10. It was really, really smart and savvy. So you want to look in your archive and say, okay, have I done interviews with big names or on some kind of big topic where I can target people interested in this topic? Make a note of it. I'm not saying you're going to do the paid ad tomorrow, but when you want to go back and you're looking, okay, what are my next steps? That might be one that could give you a good return on the investment of time and money that you might do. So make note of it. And then don't forget about the past. So I've kind of started to mention here that I started to go further back into the archive. And for example, you know, our first episode, Why Right Now is the Perfect Time to Start Your Podcast, that episode still has the most traffic that we've ever had and had a lot of engagement on it. So I want to make note of that. So don't forget to look deep into your archive, because, you know, while probably your better stuff is coming later as you've gotten better as a showrunner, there may be some gems back there early. So don't overlook the importance of that. So we've got, get your data sources together, look for outliers, look for trends and audiences, and the fourth step, which goes along with that last one, is look for excellence, all right? So it's not always going to be evident what your best content is just from the traffic, just from the download numbers, just from patterns of headlines. You might have a brilliant episode that just doesn't have a lot of traffic on it, right? And it may not be obvious from the numbers. It may not be recent. And it may even need to be repackaged. And that might be why it's not showing up. Like, for example, our episode number 52, the current headline on it is How Jared Grew Revenue by 1,200% and Doubled Subscribers to the Assembly Call. We've gotten a lot of comments on this episode being really helpful and being a really good case study, but it doesn't have a lot of attention. And part of the reason for that is because the headline just isn't that compelling, or it could be better. And so that's one of those when you look at it and you say, man, that was a good episode. It had some really good stuff in it. Make note that, hey, maybe it needs a new headline. Maybe it needs something new to get people to that episode who can really use it. So again, you're taking all these parts and pieces and you're not judging anything right now. You're putting them on a spreadsheet. You're making your comments. You're keeping track of the URLs. And you're whittling down your archive from whatever it is to maybe 20 to 25% of the episodes that you've put on the spreadsheet, the best of the best. They've fit some of this criteria. Only then will you start actually looking, okay, what should I do with this stuff next? While you go through this process, just put it on the spreadsheet, get it there so you have some clay to work with, something to mold. But these steps of looking for outliers, looking for trends and audiences, looking for excellence, they will guide your decision-making as you go through this process to just put things on the spreadsheet, and then you can go on to the next step, which is step five. Before we get there, though, Johnny, do you have any other tips, advice, strategies that as people, you know, as they kind of comb through their data sources and comb through their archive and look, that they can use to pick out the really good episodes that they might want to do something with in the future?
You're covering it really well. And I like the idea of looking for excellence because I think that that does happen a lot, where a few people will listen to it and you'll get great feedback from it, but there's something wrong with either the headline or the artwork or something that is not allowing it to get to enough people. And obviously you have to be sort of wary of the fact that we're not always the best judge of our best content. But because of the fact that we might think it was awesome, but if we didn't actually get that feedback, so you do have to be wary of that. But also the idea of keeping a spreadsheet, which is something I'm really bad at, as you're going through and sort of having the title, the URL, and why it's sort of on this sheet now, and maybe taking sort of like the scientific sort of approach, where all the data you're trying to gather, all the trends and audiences and excellence you're looking for, all those things, you're really trying to almost like disprove whatever it is. Like, as much as we want to go into this and not think we have an idea of what we're looking for or what we're going to find, I think we still do have these biases, obviously, heading into it. And I think that the more we can try and remove that and really look with an open mind, that was something I struggled with the top 10, obviously, was just not wanting to just find the Seth Godin's, right? It's a fun interview and all that stuff, but I didn't want to just do that. And those were my biases, where I almost felt like I could just sit down right now without even looking at anything and I could just write out the top 10 and then just run with it. But I didn't think that that would do my audience justice. So I like that you're saying the data. And then I can't remember what the exact term is, how scientists sort of approach it, but it is always trying to sort of disprove sort of the hypothesis you went into this process with, rather than trying to reaffirm your bias towards what you think is your best. Try and really put that data in. And I think that using a spreadsheet, like you said, which is something I'm terrible at doing, but I need to get better at, is a great idea, because just kind of keep putting it in and not really necessarily looking back at it yet, just putting it in and putting it in, and putting it in. And then when we get to the step of now, let's take a look, it's like, oh, wow, there's completely different things that you weren't expecting. And I don't know, to me, that's the one really big thing I've sort of gotten out of this right now, which is cool, is taking that and just trying to really be open to whatever it is you can find. And then from that, take a sort of positive or educated step, I guess, into the what you can promote next.
Well, good. I mean, and that's part of the mindset that I want people to walk away from this from. Because again, this is not about, you know, executing the content archive that will change the future of your podcast forever, right? Like that sounds like there's a lot of pressure on that activity. This is just a 5-step process for auditing your archive in 30 minutes or less. That's it. You're not going into it, you know, expecting some great change. You may not even be going into it expecting I'm going to come out with a top 10. You're not prejudging the outcome. You're just saying, hey, let me go through, look at some data, get a spreadsheet together, and let's just put some episodes out here. Hopefully some trends develop. Hopefully I can find some patterns. And once I get to the end of it, then I'll look at it and see, okay, what can be kind of a high-level strategy that I can use with this information now? So we've gone through our four steps. And that's the fifth step, is simply prepare a high-level strategy, okay? And the key here is keep it simple, all right? Don't overcomplicate it, because you can see, you know, I have 16 episodes listed on this spreadsheet, all right? And I could start getting real complicated with everything that I want to do with every episode, and pretty soon you can get overwhelmed, and you think, man, this is like a year's worth of work, and I don't have time. And stop. As soon as those thoughts start to enter your head during this process, which they almost always do during any type of content audit, just stop. Take a step back. That's not the goal here, okay? keep it simple, make it actionable, okay? So as you start listing out your conclusions and what you want to do, make them actionable so that this spreadsheet doesn't just sit here. There's actually actions that you take from it. And then think about leveraging existing content. So again, make it as easy on yourself as possible. If there's something that you've already created or that you're in the process of creating and you find something in this content audit that will lead really nicely into that, well, then that's probably one of the things that you want to go to first. And I've got an example of that here in a second. And then finally, there should be meat left on the bone. Okay, as you're going to hear, I had three takeaways from this. All right, three really simple, actionable takeaways, Johnny, that we could start working on that leverage stuff that we've already done. And then there's a whole bunch of stuff left on the spreadsheet. So when I get done with those three, I can come back here and I can say, okay, well, we haven't done this yet. Now we can do this next. Okay, so here are the three takeaways. And I will give you the link to the spreadsheet. You can look at it. This is exactly what I have written down. Number one, target people interested in podcasting with a series on interviews, right? I told you how often there was a clear trend with people liking the content about interviews. So target people interested in podcasting with a series on interviews, use the mini course as a lead magnet. So the other reason this is great is we already have a mini course that we've done that it will, you know, that should be ready soon. That's our lead magnet. So that is perfect. You know, whether we're going to repurpose these episodes as blog posts on Medium or pay for traffic to them or rebroadcast them or whatever, we've got the place that we're leading them to. So that was by far the best combination of activity, trends, excellence, and then leveraging what we already have. So that was takeaway number one. Number two is target fans of Gary V with the episode about Gary V, with the goal being to drive subscribers. And then I have in parentheses, consider redoing the intro and the CTA with a question mark. Because, you know, if we're going to redo this, we might want to consider, you know, making the call to action or even making the intro a little bit more appropriate to what we're doing. It's not necessary. It may just be something to think about, which is why it's there with a question mark. And then the third one is to review the quote-unquote number episodes, the ones with numbers in the headline that all did really well, and choose the best one to repurpose into a new lead magnet. Because that new lead magnet could then be something that we could use here on the podcast to freshen up the email list. We could advertise to it. We can promote it on social media. There's a lot that we could do with, say, an ebook or a little PDF titled 5 Easily Avoidable Mistakes That Cause Most Podcasts to Fail. That's compelling. We could do something with that. So those are the three. And there's a bunch of podcast episodes, like, for instance, I mentioned earlier, about the episode, How to Decide What Your Podcast Should Be About. That was really popular, but I'm not worrying about what to do with that yet. It didn't fit any of these initial three kind of conclusions or elements of this high-level strategy. I'm not worrying about it. It's sitting there on the spreadsheet. When we get done with these three items, then we can go back to the spreadsheet, look at what we have left. But now, instead of having to go back to our entire archive, we just go back to this spreadsheet because we've already done the work. It took us less than 30 minutes, but it was really valuable. And now we can go back here and say, okay, we're ready to do some more repurposing, you know, or create a new lead magnet, whatever. Let me go back to my list of the best content, pick something from there.
I love it. I just want to go over this last part, these three. So yeah. The interview, I mean, it's great because we happen to have created a mini course that was popular, and now we could do paid traffic to that or whatever it is we want to do. The numbered ones is interesting to know. So we need to do like 7 interview questions to have the best interview on a podcast or something.
Clearly.
But this Gary V one, this is interesting. So
yeah,
because I'm sure this happens to a lot of people. You interview somebody that might have an audience that you could then do some paid traffic to through Facebook. But when you said maybe we should redo the intro and outro or intro and CTA, the call to action, mm-hmm. what do you see as the benefit of that, or what would be sort of what would you do that would be different than how we did it now?
Yeah, I mean, I think the context is going to be important. So, you know, we did that episode back, you know, 3 or 4 months ago. And so, you know, back then we were saving our calls to action until the end. We've started doing them at the beginning. So maybe for that one, since we're attracting attention to it, let's redo it and get our call to action up in the beginning. you know, maybe we now have a more compelling lead magnet that we're attracting people to, that we're promoting. Maybe let's get that more in the beginning. You know, maybe for that episode, since those are people who don't know us quite as well, you know, if we have 10 minutes of, you know, intro talk and there's kind of some inside jokes in there or whatever, maybe we shorten that a little bit for this episode since we're running ads to it. It's a little bit different. You know, if you're going to have quote unquote cold traffic, if you're going to promote that to the episode, you may want to get to the point a little bit quicker. Those people are coming because they're interested in Gary Vee, not because they're interested in us. We would need to sell ourselves as part of, you know, talking about Gary Vee, but we need to get to that as quickly as possible. So I'd have to go back and listen to that episode and just hear, you know, how quickly we get into it. But it's just one of those things. If you're going to pay for traffic to something, it may be, you may want to approach it a little bit differently than if it's just going to your existing audience. And by that point, we were 46 episodes in. We had developed a good relationship with our audience. So I think you just want to review and just make sure that you're really being intentional with how that episode goes out as opposed to defaulting how it is. And you may not need to change anything, but depending on the show and the context of how that traffic is coming in, you may want to consider it.
Yeah, no, I think those are all really valid and interesting points to think about. Basically, what you would be, or I guess this is a question more than a statement, would you be treating it almost like an audio lead magnet now?
Yeah, I would think so, because
it's not just episode 56 or whatever it happened to be.
Right.
It's now, this is like specifically something you're going to create a new sort of beginning and ending for and make it, package it up as something for new people.
Yeah. Yeah. I think you really are, because you're targeting that specific audience that a lot of those people aren't going to know you. And our goal isn't for them to just come listen to the episode and then never come back. Our goal is to convert whatever percentage of those people we can into future listeners and hopefully subscribers. So yeah, I think that's a good way to put it. I think you're kind of repurposing it as a lead magnet.
Nice. Love it.
Beautiful. So that's the big idea. Get your data sources together, look for outliers, look for trends in audiences, and look for excellence, and then prepare your high-level strategy. And you should be able to do all of this in 30 minutes or less. That is the big idea. Again, if you go to showrunner.fm, go to the show notes for episode 66, you will find the slides, the actual slides that I use inside of Digital Commerce Academy. I'll put those slides there. Hopefully I don't get in trouble for doing that, but I'm going to do it. and then there'll also be, I'll put a link to this Google Doc after I share it with Johnny so he can actually see it. It'll be there.
I was going to say, do I have to go to the show notes too?
No. I'll show it to you. I literally did this like right before we started recording. But go there. You'll probably just have to request access to it, but I'll get a notification and I'll give you access right away to it if you don't get it already. So yeah, if you want some of those additional resources, go to the show notes and you will get them. Cool. Johnny, thank you for indulging me in that and adding a lot of important insight to it. I appreciate it.
It was fun, man. It was fun.
Are you ready for a podcast recommendation? Do you possibly have a podcast recommendation after being on vacation for so long? Workcation, I mean.
Yes.
You do?
Yes.
Ooh, I can't wait to hear this. All right, podcast recommendations coming up. All right, well, let's keep everybody in suspense about your podcast recommendation, Mr. Nastor. I will provide mine really quick. My podcast recommendation is called Revolution Health Radio with Chris Kresser. If you go to chriskresser.com/podcasts, a lot of different options for subscribing, or of course, just search Revolution Health Radio in your podcast app of choice. And this is a kind of a health and wellness related podcast. And I've been getting into this a lot more. I've got my daughter on the way. She should be here in about 3 or 4 weeks. And I've been on a big health kick since we found out my wife was pregnant, both to support my wife because she is obviously eating much better and not allowing toxic substances into her body. And so I wanted to do that too. But I also realized, hey, once my daughter is here, it's going to be very hard to develop new habits. I'm probably going to be stuck with the habits I have at that point. So I really wanted to use this 9 months to develop good habits. And so part of that is just eating better, taking better care of myself. And this podcast has been really, really helpful in doing that. The host, Chris doesn't have the greatest voice for podcasting and maybe not necessarily the greatest presence for podcasting. But the information is really, really good. And so once you can kind of get past that, especially if you're used to, you know, kind of very professional, well-produced podcasts, it's not that it's poorly produced. I think you'll know what I mean when you listen, but I'm recommending you listen because the information's good. Three recent episodes are Unschooling as a Cure for Industrialized Education, Why You Need to Eat More Vegetables and How to Do It, and Is a Disrupted Gut Microbiome at the Root of Modern Disease? So you can kind of see it. It spans a pretty wide spectrum, but it's all about the wellness of your body and the wellness of your mind, which I found very interesting and very useful. So Revolution Health Radio with Chris Kresser. Really good show. Highly recommend it. Mr. Naster, over to you.
It started off with a good sort of preface disclaimer, but I liked it. I need to listen to the Unschooling one. I'm fascinated with unschooling.
I am too. And, I
know. Yeah. As much as I want to say that my daughter is homeschooled, it really blurs the line of unschooling. it really does, in a comical sort of way. But I mean, yeah. It seems to be working so far. So that's
all.
Cool.
It's all that matters.
All right. So my podcast recommendation is the Tropical MBA podcast. So the Tropical MBA is by two guys, Dan and Ian. They run the Tropical MBA. This is episode 341. So this has been several years they've been doing this. But interestingly enough, they've created a community, a paid community around it called the Dynamite Circle, the DC, they now refer to it as. But that's the conference that I was at. They have a meetup once a month, like somewhere in the world, in a different city in the world once a month. And then now twice a year, they have one in Barcelona, the small conference, and they have their bigger one in Bangkok at the same time each year. But it's a paid membership. I think about 1,000 of us are in it, and that's the only way you can access the conferences. So Dan and Ian started all this off of a podcast. They take podcasting really, really, really serious, and they're actually working. They have this is totally an aside, but they've hired a podcast producer who she has been working with writing and producing for the BBC for, I think, 25 years now. Wow. And she gave up her office job at the BBC a couple of years ago and started like traveling the world, but working for the BBC producing still, and they hired her as well. So they're kind of upping their game on podcast in general, of editing, of interviews, cutting things apart and doing really good work. And they did this, a response to Alex Bloomberg, about the first season. They did an audio response about the first season of Startup. So that was a year ago or so, a year and a half ago. And Alex heard it and then got in touch with them. And these guys have been trying to have Alex on the show for the last couple of years. And finally, they got him. And so two episodes ago for them, they got Alex Bloomberg on. They were really, really, really excited. And they got to sort of discuss sort of why and how they got in contact because of this audio response they did to him, and didn't even direct it to him, but he did find out about it still. And so it's a really good conversation. It's a good place to kind of enter the Tropical MBA if you want to. And it's Alex Bloomberg talking about the power of podcasting. So it's sort of relevant for the audience here as well. So it's the Tropical MBA 341, Alex Bloomberg on the power of podcasting.
That is cool. Okay, so who do we really want on the show? Who can we do an audio response to?
That's a good question.
Let's think about that. Actually, yeah. Let's pose that to our showrunner listeners. So if you are still listening to this, and clearly you are because you're hearing the words that are coming out of my mouth, who should we do an audio response to? Because if you give us a good idea, we'll do it. Give us a good idea. Give us a good reason. If we buy into the reason, if we agree with it, we'll do it. Tweet us at Jared Morris, JerodMorris, and at John Naster, JonNastor, and let us know. And maybe we'll do an audio response to somebody.
Nice. That would be fun.
That would be very interesting.
So actually, I'm looking right now in their show notes that actually says their audio response was episode 286. So that was a long time ago. They do one a week.
Yeah.
So that was 60 weeks ago.
Wow.
They did it. But finally, he's on the show. So it works. The power of audio is real and live. So
Sure is. Very cool. All right, everybody. Well, make sure that you go to showrunner.fm, put your email address in so that you get our weekly newsletter, so that you get our four essential elements of a remarkable podcast, and so that you get all the new stuff that we're going to be coming out with over the next few months and many months after that. And we hope to talk with you next week on another brand new episode. Johnny, great to have you back, man.
It's been fun. I look forward to next week.
Talk to y'all next week.